In Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, friends. It's good to have you here. Hello, Anna, everyone. It's good to have you guys here. Just one or two things I want to make clear. If you didn't receive one of those little flyers at the on the info desk right in front, then please get one afterwards. There's a few announcements on that. One or two things we're inviting you to. You probably saw already and heard in the announcements that there's quite a lot of guest speakers we're going to have for the rest of the month. And one of the things is we're going to have on the that weekend of the 14th to the 16th of September, we're going to have a visiting pastor, Pastor Teens Jacobs here. He's one from a pastor from one of our South African churches in Cape Town. He's also a regional director, and we're inviting all of you guys. We're going to have a braai that Friday. Now, what is a braai in Afrikaans? Now you're going to help me. In English, sorry. I'm getting it the other way around. A barbecue. Now, obviously, it's just a braai, guys. But we're inviting you to that. It's going to be at our house. And then this Saturday morning at Dirk and Mia's house, we're going to just have a breakfast with Tiens. And I'm going to ask him to just share. He's a very good teacher. And he's just going to share a little bit. And we're just in an informal way. You wanted to talk to each other. And you're all invited. But please, you need to email me and just let me know if you will be there. We need to know how many people will come. And then also right at the bottom, it just says, unfortunately, no kids can come. And that's just because I don't have a farm. I've just got a house, so we're going to braai there. But if we've got quite a lot of kids in church, and if all of them come, you know, it's just we're not going to manage in terms of everything. So, and that also goes for the Saturday morning at Dirk and Mia. They're also still building at their house, so it's not that safe for kids. So please try and make arrangements with a babysitter for one of those events, or maybe mum and dad, for those of you who have got kids, you can make you can change. One can maybe come to the one and the one to the other one. Then this morning I want Skola, our secretary, to come and stand next to me. Skola has been our faithful secretary for the past 2 years. She's been serving in church in a lot of ways. And this morning we want to send her and bless her and say thank you to her. She's been really working hard the past 2 years, and now she felt in her heart, and as you all know, Skola is a very prophetic lady, that it's time for change. So she's moving on, and she's got new dreams and things on her heart that she's going to pursue. But this morning, Skola, from the church's side, we just want to say a big thank you. We know that all the trips to South Africa or the regional conferences or whatever was happening in church, there's so much behind the scenes organizing and phone calls and emails and the worship team and this team and the ushering team. Thank you always for organizing and sending out and answering the phones and doing the banking and this and that. We really want to honor you and say thank you to you. It's sometimes you don't always see what goes in for church to happen. We've got about 15 ministries in church, and there's a lot of communication that's needed and a lot of things that need to interact, and she's usually the lady that keeps a lot of those things together. So Skola, thank you a lot. We're definitely going to miss you. And then in the same breath, I want to say, if there's secretaries out there, we need a new one now. You can talk to me about that, but I just would like to pray for Skola as well. Father, we just want to say thank you to Skola, Lord God, and the way that she's been faithfully serving in church, Lord, in so many different ministries, Lord God, whether it's a secretary or the intercession team, Lord God, or small group facilitator, Lord God. We just want to thank you for her, and we want to bless her, and we want to send her, Lord God, into this new season of her life, Lord God. And I want to ask that you'll protect her, Lord God, and that you'll open doors for her, Lord. And Father, you know her heart and her dreams and the things that you still want to do in this life, Lord God. And you Yes, Lord, I just want to ask that you'll bless her abundantly, Lord God. And we just want to honor her this morning as a family and a church. We want to honor her for the work that she's done, Lord God, and especially all the after-hours things that you have done, Lord God, and for her faithful heart, Lord God, and the part that you will, thank you, Lord, that you'll stay part of the family, Lord God. And yes, Lord, that this new season in her life, Lord God, will be one of spring, Lord God, that it will be one of new life. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Skola. Then also, one announcement that wasn't made. It's the last Sunday in September. You probably heard now and you saw the video clip for the Shofar conference at the end of the month. But one of the guest speakers, international speakers at the conference, he will fly on the Saturday afternoon. He will fly to Windhoek. Me and my wife won't be here. We stay the second week after the conference. We've got the pastor summit, so we will stay there. But Dirk and Mia will receive them, or him. The person's name is Abu Saad. He's from the Middle East, from the persecuted church there. He's a pastor and a follower of Christ. What's his scale name? Stage name. He uses stage name. We don't want him on Facebook or on YouTube or anything like that. We're going to ask you guys on that Sunday, we're going to make the biggest men in church stand there at the door, that you don't bring cameras, or please switch off your cell phones and we'll dim the lights, because his identity is really important, not to, you know, go out into public. He was also one of the speakers last year at the conference, and, you know, if I were him, then he would have looked that side and he had like a kopdoek over his head, you know, so he doesn't want to, in the media, wherever, to be seen as a Christian, because for his own life and that of his family, it's really dangerous. So he's going to come and share a little bit on that Sunday. That's going to be the 30th, the last Sunday in September, and he's going to come and talk to us a little bit about what does it mean to be a Christian and a pastor in the Middle East, and to be part of the really persecuted church where you can't just put on the internet, okay, friends, come and have a bride at my home, we're at church or whatever. Life works a lot different. We will also just have at like the old time, just 9:30, we're going to have the one church service, because it doesn't help. We're going to have Afrikaans one, because he can't speak Afrikaans. So just keep it in the back of your minds that last Sunday. I believe it's really important, because many times we are really in a comfort zone. It's easy for us to get into our cars, wake up in the morning, drive to church, or whatever way you do things. But for them, it's really different. Okay, so see if you can make it that Sunday. And church is going to look a little bit different on that day, but I believe it's going to be really a blessing. And then next week, Wednesday, we are fasting again. If you're a mum, then you can do a water fast or a Daniel fast if you want to. All our Shofar International churches, from the guys to South Africa and the UK, and us here in Namibia, we're going to fast that Wednesday. I want to show you a little video clip that Pastor Sia, some of you know him quite well by now. We've got a Cross Africa team, and they will be praying in Cairo. It's about Cecil John Rhodes and the Rhodes Memorial there at Cape Town. One of our churches, the churches in Cape Town and Rondebosch, they will be there. They will be praying there. And next week at 7:15 in all our small groups, we're gonna pray and break bread together. We've got a little document that we've sent to all the small group facilitators that will give you a little bit more information about what it is and why we are doing this. But basically, at that stage, Cecil John Rhodes, he was one of the men, and they wanted to make a railroad from the Cape to Cairo, but it was for a lot of wrong purposes. There's a lot of Freemasonry and darkness involved in this that I'm not going to go into right now, but you know that Africa in that sense and part has been really exploited, and it's the one war after another and those type of things, and we really want to claim this place for the kingdom, for the gospel, that the gospel, they will go a road open from Cape Town to Cairo. So Pastor Sias, we've got a little clip. We're standing at a Rhodes Memorial. Skola is going to dim the lights for us quickly, and then I just want you to look at that. That's just a little bit why we are going to pray, and then please come and join. We've got two small groups that come together on a Monday, so you can still go to your normal small groups, but if you want to be part on Wednesday, you can just join another small group if you want to be part of those activities. So you can just, we're just going to look at that quickly.
This September, we're going to pray together. Pray together.
got a few things that I want to share that's on my heart. And last week, I really believe that we need to stand still sometimes. You know, sometimes we run from one topic to another or something. But the thing I've shared on last week, I think there was a few of you guys. Yeah, it was a long weekend. But I just want to continue with that. And I believe that's what that the Lord is saying to us. So I want to start off, I want to read you Ephesians 4 from verse 17 to 19 and then also 23. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of hearts. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. And then in verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirits of your minds. Now, what the scripture is talking about is that, you know, Paul is in a sense, he's telling us about the difference between believers and unbelievers. And also if you read it in the context and about what's happening in their minds and in their hearts. Now, he says here, we shouldn't be like the Gentiles. Now, of course, we know Paul was a Jew, but he's not speaking here. He doesn't want to make a comparison and say, like, okay, guys, don't be like the Gentiles, be like the Jews. That is not what he's saying. He's talking about being new. And then he talks about not having a different or a new mindset. But he talks about totally and wholly becoming new, you know, having a whole new way of thinking. And Paul, if you read all his epistles where he's written, then you'll see he's really got something about this new man. He talks in Colossians 3 verse 10, he also speaks about to put on the new person. Or in Romans 12 verse 2, he talks about the renewing of your mind. I can read that scripture to you. He also says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And, you know, many times we've got thoughts or we've got thought patterns, maybe ways that you think about yourself. You know, many times there's things that are so engraved into who we are. That's totally lies from the devil. You know, I've seen many times, if you study it, you'll see ladies or men have their own issues, but ladies that battle with things like anorexia, you know, then they are so thin, but when they look in the mirror, they still believe they are fat, okay? And many times the renewal really have to start here. So Paul is talking here about not a way of thinking that just need to change, but actually the whole bigger picture. Everything in us need to be changed, that we don't think and live and work the way the Gentiles do. Now I'm going to repeat one of the scriptures or two of the scriptures that I also shared last week, because I believe I'm going to link it to this right now, and I believe it's really foundational to what I want to say this morning. I also want to read you from Acts Acts 16 from verse 13 to 15. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside to the gate to the riverside, where we were supposed to be a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Now, this is amazing. When I read this a while ago, it was that rhema word. It just jumped up into my heart, and I was so excited. You know, and then the Lord started speaking to me, and I think last week I told the people that it's funny when God wants to show you something, you'll see it everywhere. And I'll share with a few examples. Many times you read scripture or you live, and then you see the same thing everywhere. When you talk to people, the same thing is coming back. And then I guess you have to stand still and ask the Lord, listen, now what do you want to tell me here? But the important thing is that we see the Lord were opening her heart. The Lord were opening her heart. And then after that happened, you know, she got baptized. So she was probably, it says here at the start that she was a worshipper of God. So she was probably a Jew, but she wasn't a born-again Christian yet. Okay, and then we see after her eyes and her heart were opened, Okay, we see that she was baptized, and then she invited the disciples to come and stay with her. So obviously when her eyes got open, something important happened in her life. And then the second scripture, in Luke 24, verse 44, then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Okay, so Jesus came and then he opened their minds. Then, now I wish when I was maybe in grade 11 or 12, that sometimes would have happened when I were doing mathematics or something like that, because I just seemed that my mind wouldn't open up. Okay, and unfortunately, I then wasn't that strong in the faith back then, but nothing happened. But here, something happened. Now, the link I want to make is, when we are not believers, okay, when we don't have the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ in our lives yet, okay, then we can be like here in Ephesians, where we can say our understanding are darkened. It's not yet enlightened. Okay, and that's where it's challenging when you come to maybe a charismatic church. And I remember about 10 years ago when I went the first time, you know, when someone said, "But the Lord said to me," or, you know, something like that, then you think like, "But how do you mean? How does God speak to you?" Okay, but we know we've got many testimonies. If you come to intercession, you know, the most beautiful thing is when you feel God, through the Holy Spirit, lay something on your heart and he speaks it, and then someone else confirms it. Or when I've got my sermon and I'm excited about it, and then the music on the Sunday morning, which I, by the way, not choose, are exactly in line, and we sing the things that is basically happening there. And this morning in both services, in the worship, I had such a prompting on my heart that the Lord is just, he wants us to worship him with everything. Okay, just open up. And I believe this morning, the message I also have, and I'll read you a few more scriptures later on, that God wants blindness or scales in front of our eyes or whatever it might be. You want those things to go away, that you can just see what he wants you to see. And we're going to pray a little bit later around that. And of course, I'm going to share the testimony again. I think, Blanche, you were in church last week. But I really believe sometimes, you know, the Lord really wants to tell us something, but then there's a bit of a deafness in our ears, or let's say a blindness in our eyes, or something hard in our heart that will make that we can't hear what he wants to us to hear. And I remember in 2007, I'm going to try and keep it short, I was, if you know me well, camping, 4x4, hunting, those type of things. I love that. Okay, and me and my wife and my dad, we were going with my wife's family and a few other people. I still lived in South Africa at that stage. We were going to go to a two-week 4x4 trip to Botswana and the Okavango Delta and all those places. And I really thought, this must be the best holiday ever. You know, there was a little bit of favor in our side, and it was possible for us to go. But then the car was booked, and we gave the yes, and we were going to go. And then I remember that was the June holiday 2007. And about January that year, God started speaking to me. He started, you know, the Holy Spirit. I just felt, but I shouldn't go there. I should cancel it and rather go with our church to missions to Nepal. Now, I mean, if you look at it in the natural, I know I've never been to Asia. I don't know people there. I mean, in a sense, I can say I don't care about them. I mean, I know no one there. That trip would have been probably the best dream holiday I could have up to that age in my life. And then, you know, every time when I prayed or whatever was happening, all that I could see and all that I could feel in my heart was, cancel the Botswana trip, go on missions. Okay, and to cut the long story short, that is what I did. I went to my wife first and then later to my dad, because we already paid the deposit for the car, and to my family, and I had to tell everyone, listen, I need to go and to cancel this, I want to go there. And probably everyone said yes, but I know they probably thought like, shame, this guy now, you know, he's probably losing it now. It's this weird church, you know. They indoctrinated him and he's becoming now a weird person. But you know, I knew in my heart I was doing the right thing. You know, and I know that God wanted me that year to go to Nepal to learn things and experience things. And I can promise you, when you go out, when you go on missions, you know, you probably learn more. I probably learned more in those 2 weeks on missions than in 40 sermons in church, you know, because it's like practical. You can keep tell my five-year-old boys, I can tell them, listen, this is how you ride a bicycle with outside wheels. And I can explain theory and gravity to them and many things. But until we go and we exercise and we do it, you know, they're not going to learn to do it themselves. And this is that is just one example, I believe, in my life where God opened up my eyes and my heart and to see something in His kingdom, you know, what He wanted to teach me, where I could grow in. And today I look back and I'm so thankful that I, you know, by the way, I still haven't been to Botswana. Okay, so I'll probably one day we'll go, you know. But I know that was God opened my heart to see something and to be obedient to something He wanted to do in my life and through my life and teach us. So I wanna tell us today, I wanna say, you know, and I almost wanna ask you the question, are men's hearts in God's hands? To what extent can God open up a mind and a heart? We read in Exodus 7, verse 3, but I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. And there we see God says He's going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So how did He do it? We must remember that always when God is doing something, He's doing it for His glory. Okay, me going to Nepal or Botswana or whatever, it's not about me, it's about Him. Okay, and He wanted to teach me things, prepare things in my life, build my character that He can use me later on again. Okay, and here we see God wanted, He said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, you know, and once again it was for His glory, because Exodus is the second book in Scripture. So at that stage, the world what was that about 4,000 years ago, I think, you know, people didn't have Scripture. There wasn't the Bible. Scripture wasn't written back then. So God wanted to teach the society back then, okay, who He is. Now, this little Moses guy came. Now, I will not go to our president of the country and say, listen, President Pohamba, I want new chairs in my church, okay, or I want a raise or this or that. Okay, I just don't walk to the president and tell him certain things. Okay, I need to respect him. And it was even more so back in the day. So for Moses to go to the Pharaoh and say, listen, let my people go, that was a big thing to do. Okay, that was no easy thing. And I think Moses really had to shiver, because literally you could lose your head. And we know the plagues got every time it got worse. And the thing is, if I tell you, listen, it's going to rain at 1 o'clock today, and you think, no, listen, the pastor is mad, it's September, the sun is shining, it will not rain. But if it rains at 1 o'clock, and I said I heard from God, then you can know I heard from God. It's not going to rain today, but I'm just using it as an example. So when Moses went to Pharaoh, and he said, listen, let my people go, or this or that will happen, and it happened, I guess the people saw there's some substance in his words. Okay, and then every time, obviously, because his heart was hardened, the people came back, and the people came back until the firstborns died. Okay, and then eventually Pharaoh said, listen, take your people. And then we know what happened at the Red Sea. Basically, God wiped out the Pharaoh and the Egyptian army at that stage. I actually wonder what happened next to that in history. We don't know a lot about it, but there must have been not a Pharaoh anymore. But anyway, bottom line is, God had Pharaoh's heart in His hand as well. And when we go on, I just stumbled upon all these things. In Ezra 1 verse 1, we see, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it into writing. Now we see here that God was stirring up the spirit of King Cyrus. Okay, and what he did, I'm not going to read you the whole story, otherwise it's going to become too late again. But basically, he said to the Jews, listen, you can go back, you can go and build yourself a house of worship once again. And you know, if you're a king and you had slaves, you know, because the Israelites went into exile at that stage, you know, it's kind of silly to just let the people that's working for you for free to let them go. But God worked in his heart that he can say, you can go. And he even blessed them. They took silver and gold and things with them, and they had the blessing to go and build a house where they could worship again. In Psalm 19, verse 18, we read, open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things from your law. Okay, and this is a psalmist saying, open my eyes that I can see, that I can understand. The law was the first five books of the Old Testament as we had it today, that we can understand, that we can see it. And the same Pastor Sias that's been, I remember always when I did Bible school and he was talking, you know, he always said that before we read scripture, we should pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show us Jesus, okay? That we can see and understand what this Jesus is about, what he's doing, okay, who he is. Because when we're worshiping God this morning as we in the praise and worship, I mean, we don't see God. There's no God. But God is inside us. Okay? And the better we can understand God, the better we can worship him. That's why we sing that song, open up the eyes of my heart, Lord. You know that song? Okay? Because we want to see you. That doesn't mean physically we need to see God. We can't. But, okay, we need to see who God is. So there's something in Scripture, and I can read you a lot of Scriptures the whole morning, about instances where hearts or minds were open and what the result of that was. Now, just in our own country, you know what Windhoek looks like. We've got quite a lot of trees, and if you drive to Okahania, you'll see quite a lot of trees as well. But if you came for the first time to Namibia, and you were a visitor here, and you didn't know what the rest of the landscape looked like, and you were to fall asleep there and drive to Swakopmund, and you were to wake up, say, 5 or 10 kilometers before Swakop, you're going to see, shoo, something has changed. It's now desert, and it's only about 2.5 hours drive, say, from Okahania to there. Something has changed. Your eyes were open. Now you can see, and something is different from 2.5 hours ago. And it also happened right here at the start of Scripture in Genesis. In Genesis 3, it will also be up there. Let me read to you Genesis 3, verse 5. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to her eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took off the fruit and ate, and she opened. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves clothes. Okay, but we're not going to go into all the negative things there. But God didn't want their eyes to be opened; otherwise, he would say, "Eat from that tree that you can see." But in that context, he didn't want them. That was a bad thing that happened. It wasn't a good thing. Okay, and after that, the sin that came into the world, you know, then people actually started to die, and all, you know, God cursed the snake, and all those things happened. But it's just an example about eyes being closed. Now, in this instance, it was for a good reason, and then it was opened, and then something is new. So I'm telling these things with a purpose this morning. And it's, you know, our eyes, when we don't have the Lord in our lives yet, when we don't know the Holy Spirit, when we haven't been baptized or anything like that, you know, we think like the Gentiles do. Our hearts are hardened. It's dark in a sense. We can't understand the kingdom things. Kingdom things work different than the worldly things. Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. In the natural, people try to collect more than to give away. Scripture says, you know, if you lose your life for Christ's sake, you know, you're going to gain it. Otherwise, the other way around. A few things, kingdom things, doesn't make sense. And that's, we can see it all the way in Matthew. I preached a few weeks ago on it around the parables. You know, the people didn't always understand what Jesus was saying. They didn't understand what, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood. I mean, that is gross. That's weird. But he had purpose in it. He knew exactly what he wanted to say. So friends, our eyes and hearts and minds need to be opened, even though we are believers, continually, that we can just see more, experience more about God, His goodness, what He has for us, okay? And I want to read you also from 1 Samuel 16, from verse 1 and then verse 6 and 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And then in verse 6, "When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man look on the outward appearance, but the Lord look at the heart." Okay, so Samuel was there, and he said to Jesse, "Listen, bring me your sons. Let me have a look at him." And we know in the culture that those days, the oldest son was important. That's why Judah was the oldest son, and he was the strongest. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Okay, so basically, they were standing there, and this oldest boy, Eliab, he was the biggest, he was probably the good-looking, the strongest, the typical guy that looked like to be the next king, okay? And Samuel, that's what Samuel thought as well, but then the Lord said no. And then boy number two, and number three, and number four, you know, all of them passed by, and God was probably quiet, or just said every time, no. And then the prophet Samuel said to Jesse, "Listen, we're out of sons now, do you have more?" And he said, "Yes, the little young one called David. He's there in the sheep kraal, you know. He's looking after the meh-mehs, nah? And most likely the least important guy. Okay, he was the youngest. But then God said, "This is the one I've chosen. This is the one I want to make king." Okay, so without the Holy Spirit or God's guidance, Samuel probably would have chosen the wrong king. But God looked different at things. And you know, in our own lives, it's easy for us maybe to look at your budget, your circumstances, your marriage, the place you work in, and try and figure things out in the natural, you know. But the point I want to make this morning is we need to look in the spiritual. We need to put on those glasses. Now, when you go out and it's summer and the sun is shining and it's bright, you put on shades to protect your eyes. But we need to put on the Holy Spirit as shades, in a sense, or glasses, that we can look differently. Because I've said it in a previous service, I can say I've made a lot of mistakes in my life because I looked at things, I made a calculation, and then I chose option A, B, or C. And many times I did the wrong thing because I didn't properly see God in it or ask the Holy Spirit, lead me, show me, give me a scripture, give me confirmation, or something like that. And it's so important that we don't make that mistake, okay? Because God wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. I share the example also. I remember in 2005, I was working just a few years, earning a very small salary, and I went to a job interview, and then I basically got it. And it was, I would have earned a lot more. It was a much better deal, you know? So in the natural, it looked a lot better. But the thing is, something inside just wouldn't let go. Something bugged me. It's called the Holy Spirit, you know. And I remember, one of the things was, it was just opposite Teasers, the strip club, in the center of Cape Town. It just had a bad vibe there. You know, I didn't want to be there. Something in my spirit didn't gel with spiritually what was around there. And I remember that weekend, I basically got the job, and I still just the Monday needed to sign my contract. And that Saturday morning, I still lived with two friends, wasn't married then. I went and I really prayed and I asked God, "Listen, where do you want me to go?" And it's tough because, I mean, I want it was probably three times the salary I earned at that stage, and that's quite attractive. I mean, I wanted to get married that next year and things like that. So you can very easily calculate things in the natural. And I really felt that day. I remember what God actually told me. And it came just to something that was not personal, but I should stay where I was, okay? And I remember I went that Monday to the lady And I said to her, listen, this weekend I prayed over this thing and I think I need to say no. She was like, you're crazy. What do you mean? You know, some people don't have a frame of reference for people praying and then saying yes or no. And she said, well, go, it's fine, you know. And God then came and he blessed me, actually at my old job. I got promoted, I did get a bigger salary, while I didn't thought I will, you know. And that's maybe something for someone here this morning, you know, that you look in the natural and you think I should do this or that because it seems logic. But in God's mind, God led the people to the Red Sea, and the people must have thought, now Moses missed it. Now we're dead. There's the Egyptian army coming. There's the sea. We're dead. God opened the sea. God chose David and not Eliab. God told me, stay at your own old job. Don't take the one that looks better. I have a friend, and I remember he once said, he applied for 3 jobs, and then he prayed about it, and then God told him, take the one with the smallest salary. And it's like, you know, but those of you who have learned these things, that's the way God works many times, because he want to test us. He want to see what is in your heart, okay? And if he probably chose the one with the biggest salary, God would have, you know, still loved him, but he would have had to teach him something later on in his life. And I remember he was here, and he chose the job with the smaller salary. And eventually, you know, God also promoted him far more than probably he would have at the other companies. So I'm not saying this morning when you apply for a job, choose the one with the smaller salary. But for him, because he prayed, that's what God said to him. Okay? So there's something about that. I also want to end off this morning by reading to you 2 Kings from verse 6, 2 Kings 6 verse 15 to 17. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Okay? Now, many times we look at things around us and we think like, this is bad, okay? And then here he prayed and the young man's eyes were opened and there was horses and chariots of fire all around them, and he didn't have to be afraid. Okay? Bottom line is, I feel we need to pray for ourselves to start off with and to ask God, you know. We also see the wonderful example in Acts 9 where, you know, Saul at that stage, he was really persecuting the Christian church, the early believers, and he was ruthless. The people were really afraid of him. And then on the Damascus Road, you know, he had that incident where God really touched his life. And then in a vision, Ananias went to Paul, laid hands on him, and something like scales fell from his eyes. Okay? And then scripture said after that he was baptized. So that means that's like a seal that he's now a new believer. He's born again. Okay? And then after that, it's scripture says, and then in the synagogues, in the temple, you know, he claimed that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, for a Pharisee or a Jew, that was a big thing to say. But the scales fell from his eyes, and that represents spiritual blindness. And then he could see. He was baptized, and he could see now this Jesus he hated so much that was creating this stir among the people. He could say, he is the Son of God. And that's a big thing. So in our own lives, we also need to check. We need to check this morning with God. Lord, where's my heart? Where am I a little bit blind? What needs to be open? Your heart, your mind, your eyes, okay? And because God always wants to make us see more. The first day when you become a Christian, you don't get everything in terms of you're going to understand everything. Okay, I remember when I was a very young person, you know, people prayed the blood of Jesus Christ, and I thought like, why do they pray like that? I didn't pray like that when I grew up. I said, yeah, thank you for Papa, Mama, and you know, those things. You know, I prayed a very simple way of praying, and then the agreement and this and that, but that's how we grow. That's how God gives us more and he shows us more. And I'm looking forward to know more about the Lord. And I can see it in scripture, and I can see what he's doing all around us. And then secondly, you know, as with King Cyrus, as with Pharaoh, as with this lady Lydia, you know, their hearts and lives are also in God's hands. God can use circumstances to open up hearts or to harden hearts. And I believe, I want to challenge all of you this morning, that we pray in Windhoek, in our city, that we ask God for those family members, especially in my own family, I'm doing that, asking God to open up eyes that people can see. They don't have to fight the church, or God isn't the guy with the stick that just want to give them hiding when they miss it or something. That people can understand God's grace and his love for us and what he wants us to do. Okay, it's easy to say Acts, Matthew 28:19 says, go to the nations, you know, make disciples, tell the people about me. But when it's starting to open up in your own heart and the urgency is starting to happen, then you think differently. Then it's just not something that was said 2,000 years ago. Then it's something for the here and the now as well. So secondly, this morning, I feel we just need to ask God, Lord, who can I pray for? Whose heart can I trust for that you can open it for eyes to be to see or anything like that? And that we can understand that we and they can understand kingdom things. That we can come back to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, how does these things work? Explain it to me. What is my purpose right here now? What is my vision? What do you want me? Where must I fit in? And I promise you, if you start to talk to God, it's like if you, what is your hobby? What is your hobby? Graphic designing. If I start to speak to her about graphing agriculture, that's your hobby. Meat. That makes it two of us. Okay. When you speak to me or Bianca about meat, okay, then we're going to talk back to you. We're going to talk to you. But if you are talking to me about breiwerk or stuff like that, I'm probably going to say, yeah, you know, that's what men usually do when they're not interested, you know. But when you speak to God about the things on his heart, he will respond, okay? He will respond. If you ask things, him things about, Lord, what can I do? Where must I go? Who can I pray for? You will get an answer. Just be sensitive for that. So friends, this is basically in a nutshell what we have here this morning. And I really believe that we should take it seriously. Go and ask God about those things. You know, I believe we moved here with a purpose. We just didn't make a move. God wanted us to move, okay? And sometimes you're going to have to ask God, Lord, why is this happening in my life? Why doesn't the gap come, or this door is opening now? Pray about it. Ask about it. Fast maybe a day if you need to, okay? And you'll see God is faithful. Father, we want to come to you this morning, Lord, and we want to thank you, Lord, and just praise your name, Lord God, for, Lord God, that Pharaoh, the most powerful man at that stage in the world, that his heart was in your hand, Lord. Father, that you could stir up King Cyrus's spirit, Lord God. We see later in Ezra, Lord God, that you're also the king of Assyria, Lord God, that you also made his heart turn to the Israelites, Lord God. Father, we know that it is you are still the same God who took the veils from the Apostle Paul's eyes, Lord God, that he could see, that his eyes opened up, Lord. We see in his and Lydia's life, Lord God, that after their hearts were opened or their eyes were opened, Lord, that they were baptized, Lord God. And I pray this morning, Lord God, that wherever we might have hearts that is hard or veils in front of our eyes or anything like that, Lord God, that you will come and open it, Lord God, that we can see, Lord God, as we sing in that song, Lord God, that you can open up our hearts and eyes, that we want to see you, Lord. We want to know you better, Lord God. We want to grow in relationship with you, Lord God. And I prayed, Lord God, and I believe with all my heart, Lord, that if we ask it, Lord God, that you'll do it in our lives, Lord. And I pray also, Lord God, that you will show us in our own surroundings, whether it's our families or the places we work, Lord God, who can we pray for, Lord God, for their eyes and hearts to be opened, Lord. And Father, we know that your arm is not too short, Lord God, that you will touch, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for the abundance of people in this nation you have been touching and that you still will touch, Lord God. Father, I also want to pray for Pastor Sias and his team, Those men traveling to Cairo, Lord God, Lord, that you'll protect them, Lord God. We pray for a highway of holiness, Lord God, from Cape Town to Cairo, Lord God, that the gospel, the train of gospel, of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ, Lord God, can move, Lord God, that nations and people can be changed, Lord God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, you must have a wonderful Sunday. I want to ask you, as we were here this morning, and if you felt in your heart a warmness or something, and you feel you need to respond to something I said, if you feel you need to pray about something, if you feel maybe you're not standing in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ yet, or there's something about, like I gave that example of going to Nepal or the work job, and there's something that you're not sure about, I would love to pray with you this morning. Please stay behind when the rest of the guys are going, or if there's anything else on your heart, you just need some counsel, or you just need to pray with someone or agree with someone, I want to invite you. I will stay here. I would love to pray with you. Okay, so have a wonderful Sunday, and then next Sunday I won't be here. I'm preaching in Swakopmund at our church there, but please come and listen to Pastor Mark Crossman. He's a youth pastor. He'll probably run from there to there and do a few somersaults. I'm way too old for stuff like that, even though he's older than myself, but youth pastors do things like that. So it's going to be lots of fun. Come and listen to him, and have a wonderful Sunday. Amen.